unheardnerd.com.
Radio Mass places a disc.
And now our feature presentation.
There we go, we're recording. Okay, ready?
Uh-huh.
A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, John and I recorded a podcast. It was called Betamax and Laserdisc. Since then, we've had Christmas and New Year, but we are back in 2016 with the first show of the year. Exciting stuff. Happy New Year, John. How are you?
Happy New Year, Will. I'm good. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm okay. Yeah, I'm really... Oh, God. I think we've got to jump straight into the big topic. Foregoing what we've watched since the last time we spoke, this is something we've watched since the last time I spoke, at least I have, I don't know if you have. It's the big movie of the New Year and Christmas period. It used to be a company that was independent of the huge might that is Disney, but now it's part of the Disney family of films. I am, of course, talking about The Good Dinosaur. I went and saw it at the cinema with the kids. That's what you were thinking, isn't it? The Good Dinosaur.
I was going to insert something else as an amusing joke, but you took me by surprise.
I do apologise. I did go very briefly, because you know what we're coming up to. I did go and see The Good Dinosaur. Not that good.
Really?
Just not that good as a Pixar film. One of their less... well thought out films, I would say. Echoes sentiments of The Lion King in some respects, just not that good. Kids still enjoyed it, but for me, not that great. What I was, of course, leading up to is there's a film that's been out.
Snoopy? Charlie Brown?
Snoopy, he's Charlie Brown, yeah. I'd quite like to see that. I haven't seen it yet. I'd quite like to. Star Wars The Force Awakens.
The Chipmunks, Road Chip.
Chipmunks, no. Didn't see that either. Don't want to see that one.
Finally. I can't believe that opened up against them.
Yeah, well thought out. But I suppose they're going for a market that can't go and see Star Wars, because, you know, quite young kids maybe are excluded from seeing it. It's a 12A certificate here in the UK. I don't know what that equates to in the US. But, we took the plunge. We took our kids, 5 and 8, and they both loved it. There were no problems with either of them.
Brilliant.
We've done the marathon. We literally, we started with episode one. I've never watched all 6 films together or in a marathon, and I know there are theories about the ways to watch them different. You know, we watch 5 or 4 and then 6, and then I don't know what these theories, you know, how they work out, but we did it, 1 to 6, and they were fine with all of those. 3's a bit hairy, you know, when you see Anakin getting burnt up and all crispy.
It's quite intense.
It was a bit, it's a bit intense, but they coped really well. And so we took them to see The Force Awakens, and I was sat next to my youngest, my wife was next to my oldest. I couldn't see the eldest's expression and reaction, but I loved watching my youngest. She was firing at the screen with her, she had her fingers made into a gun, she was firing, she was trying to... So we went and watched it in 3D, and I actually really enjoyed it for once. I really enjoyed 3D. I don't know if I'm coming around to it or not, but I really enjoyed it. And she was trying...
Where's Will? Where's the real Will?
New year, new me. She was trying to touch the characters, because, she still feels like there's something magical about 3D. And just like, she was fighting, and she was like, the only time she was a little bit scared. And this will be a spoiler filled show, so anyone that hasn't seen The Force Awakens yet, I'm not holding back. This is going to be spoilerific, so if you haven't watched it, just save this one for another time, come back to it. But the monsters when on Han Solo's ship, when he recovers the Millennium Falcon, that was a bit scary. She jumped a bit of that, but otherwise actually okay with it. So you went and saw it as well?
I did. Me and the good lady wife.
Hated
went to,
it.
See it a week after release. It's terrible, isn't it?
Terrible. No,
it's fantastic. It does have a few problems, but it is a fantastic return to the Star Wars we love. I think.
I think so. I mean, it shits all over the first three from a great height. It really does.
Easily.
Visually stunning, absolutely stunning. Like I say, I watched it in 3D. It's the first Star Wars film I've seen in 3D. I think. And
it will be, yeah.
Is it the first one that's been released in 3D? I didn't know if they'd done reissues.
They did release The Phantom Menace in 3D.
Okay, right.
And they started work. There are rumours that episodes 2 and 3, or at least 2, has been completed in 3D. But once Disney brought Lucasfilm, then those conversions were put on a permanent hold. So I don't know if Disney will ever dig those out and finish them off. I don't know.
I think we did discuss that before, didn't we, actually? Yeah, I really enjoyed it, even in 3D. I've always had reservations about it. I find it doesn't work so well with live action films. But I think with that one, it really did. It was crisp, it was clean. You could see everything that was going on. And the X-Wing and TIE Fighter fights, the Star Destroyer. I mean, it's just amazing. Just unbelievable. I was literally sat there. I got a bit emotional in places. I really did. It's like, when you see the Falcon for the first time, again, yeah. It's like, even my wife turned to me, she said, "It's the Millennium Falcon." I know.
It's when Rey and Finn are running through the desert, and he goes, "What about that one?" She goes, "Don't want that one, it's a hunk of junk." So exactly what that is.
Yeah.
I'm going to see it now.
So many lovely little details in the film, like, when they're on the Falcon, Finn finds the training ball that Luke used in.
Yes, yes.
The hollow chess. Game on the apparently when he loads it up, it's exactly the point that the game finished when Chewie's playing playing R2-D2, I should say.
Phil Tippett, who animated that sequence originally with little stop motion figures, came back and did a new sequence for the film, same technique as he did back in the 70s.
J.J. Abrams has. I mean, he reinvigorated the Star Trek franchise, gave that some kind of credence, some kind of relevance today. And what he's done with Star Wars is really fantastic. Anyone that hasn't seen it, go and see it. There are problems with it, and I think we should, in the interests of fairness, we should look at some of those problems, and maybe we can work them out between us, some sort of counselling, because I don't want to be down on it, because visually it's absolutely stunning.
That was the biggest plus for me, the fact the world looks real.
Yeah.
You know that everything that could be built has been built for the film.
Yeah, yeah.
And it just looks... Unlike the prequels, it actually looks like people are there, because you've seen behind the scenes photos of the first three, and it's literally Ewan McGregor standing on green, surrounded by green, and in my review, which I've nearly finished and probably upload later to the website, one of the worst sequences, what's Natalie Portman? Is it Amidala? Is that her name?
Yeah, Queen Amidala.
Yeah. When she's doing that sort of horrible computer game like section where she's going through the robot factory, I just think it looks rubbish.
Yeah,
it really looks fake.
A lot of the original, not the original, sorry, the first three films, 1 to 3, just looks crap. I mean, it looks dated now because of the CG. Whereas I think the original three, 4 to 6, hold up a lot better because they're not. The technology used, I mean, there was no technology used, really. It looks dated, but it ages well, whereas CGI heavy stuff, just doesn't. And I don't know, visually, the new one is just stunning. It's amazing.
I mean, George Lucas has accused Disney of just making a film that the fans want, and it's like, it seems to have worked.
As opposed to making something that is fucking awful. And I know, I feel bad that Lucas got all the criticism that he did for the first three, but it's justified because they were not good films. They just weren't good, and it took somebody fresh coming in who loves the Star Wars in the first place to really make a go of it and make a really, really awesome film. So, as I say, in the interest of fairness, let's pick some of it apart, though. I'm going to start on a small thing. Captain Phasma. I really thought Captain Phasma was going to play a much bigger part than she did.
And it's worse than the Darth Maul situation, wasn't it? I mean, she's played up quite a lot. This is Captain Phasma played by... I've got her name, and she's like cool and everything, and then Yeah. What, she got like three scenes in the film or something? It feels like.
I presumably she was killed off because she was on the, Starkiller?
The Starkiller planet slash...
We'll come on to that. That's a big gripe, actually. All right, I read a cool little thing. I avoided all spoilers. I went into hibernation until I'd seen the film. I stopped listening to podcasts, especially any by Kevin Smith.
Oh, cool. Yeah, definitely.
Because, you know, he got to see the film early and he was already sort of chomping at the bit to give away stuff before the film had even hit cinemas. And, you know, it's like he's the worst person you could listen to. So I've avoided any podcasts or anyone that might have seen it. I've seen friends and I've begged them not to tell me anything about it because they've all been to see it first day. So I have now sort of read a few things since watching the film. And apparently there's a backstory to the armor that Captain Phasma wears.
All right.
And that it's actually made from the, it's not Naboo. Is it Naboo?
Naboo is the place where Jar Jar and Amidala lives.
Exactly. Okay. So they have these shiny chrome ships.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Apparently it was Palpatine's yacht that the armor was made from, which gives a little bit of a history and makes it a little bit more badass. Apparently the material, which is something like chromium, I think that's it. The material in the Star Wars universe is called chromium and is only found on Naboo. And so it was salvaged from his yacht and made into armor, which gives it a bit more, you know, gravitas and a bit of history. But yeah, that character, I was hoping, I mean, because the armor looks amazing. And, you know, as a character, I really like, you know, the actress that played, whose name I also can't remember. It's Bridget something, I think. I honestly wanted to see more of her. I wanted to see more of her in the film. I thought she'd be a really badass character, but yeah, really not much to it. Other things that bothered me, I mean, Death Star number three, essentially, seemed an awful lot easier to destroy than any of the others. You'd think they'd learn from their mistakes. And I was a bit disappointed that they went that route. A different kind of weapon, you know, something completely different. I know it's not the same as a Death Star because it's like it's using like a planet almost as a weapon, drawing in the sun's energy and then, you know, able to take out multiple targets at a time. That bothered me. I agree. I have to say, you know, like I said, Finn's knowledge of it was rather detailed for somebody who works in sanitation, which apparently is a callback to Clerks. If you remember Clerks, Randall and Dante are discussing how many innocent victims were killed aboard the Death Star. You know, and he says, do you think your average stormtrooper knows how to install a toilet main? And apparently, you know, J.J. Abrams and Kevin Smith are friends, and apparently that's a nod to Clerks that Finn worked in sanitation. Also could be something to do with the trash compactor.
Yeah, that's what I thought of when I saw it.
So, you know, there's lots of little theories and lots of little ways you can think about things, which are fun. But yeah, he knew an awful lot about it, or kind of, he did know, but he was kind of almost making it up as he went along in the film, which I kind of liked. I don't know, I'm not sure how to feel about that. But those are my main gripes, really. I think that's pretty much it. In terms of gripes, what do you think about those points?
Well, it's the expression that keeps going round and round in my head, and again, it's in the review I'll upload later. Sometimes it does feel like Star Wars: The Greatest Hits.
Yeah, it does draw on all the other films, the best bits. Because
as you've mentioned, you've got the Starkiller base, which is basically Death Star 3, and Rey on her own on Jakku does obviously feel like Luke on Tatooine. And here my analogy stumbles and falls over.
There's plenty more. I mean, yeah, you've got the Falcon. Han Solo is back to smuggling. Mm-hmm. That's a callback to the previous films. Having been, you know, a general leading the resistance or the rebellion, having married a princess, probably not hard up. Obviously, they touch on the fact that their relationship is strained for obvious reasons. Their son is a psychopathic wannabe Darth Vader. Rebecca, my wife, says that she saw that coming, that Emo Ren, Kylo Ren was going to be Han Solo's son. I didn't see it. I didn't know that I hadn't heard anything about it. So that was a bit of a surprise to me.
I'd like to thank Reddit for spoiling that one for me.
You got to stay away from these bastards.
The thing is, Reddit by default on a website, on a computer, you just see the headline of each thread.
Mm.
And if someone's attached an image to that thread, it's a teeny tiny thumbnail that you can't really make out.
Mm.
Now, I prefer to browse Reddit on my tablet, and the app I use makes a huge thumbnail that's very visible.
I see.
And so the title of the thread was stay away from Google to watch out for Star Wars spoilers or something like that.
Mm.
And someone had typed in Kylo Ren into Google, and you know, does a drop down list of autocompletes.
Yeah.
Like the fourth or fifth one down was Kylo Ren kills Han Solo. I was like, fuck.
Yeah.
So I had that point. There's another point that someone spoiled. I can't remember what it was now, but yeah, that's the only two that I had.
I managed to stay away from all spoilers except, and it's a minor one, someone warned me that at the beginning of the film, they do take out a village or settlement of people. There's a warning for like if I took my kids. So yeah, that was a cautionary spoiler, if you like. And it didn't really spoil any of the film. But that's the only thing that I managed to avoid everything else. And I'm actually really good at just like blanking stuff. Like even stuff that comes on TV, I can just like blank it out. I don't listen to it. I'm able to just focus somewhere else, listen to something else, do something else, and avoid them. Some would say ignorant. It could be true. But okay, so I mean, we've touched on some of the things that bother us about it. I mean, Rey's sudden awakening with the Force,
mm-hmm.
and very rapid use of the Force.
Just a little bit.
It's a bit... I'll see where it goes, you know, because there is this theory that, you know, Anakin was supposed to be the Jedi that brought balance to the Force.
Yeah.
And obviously went to the dark side, that perhaps this, you know, Rey is actually now the one that will bring balance to the Force, that she actually is the real deal. You know, after 30 years, she's the one that's going to, you know, bring balance. So there's that theory that's the floating around. So I'm going to wait and see on that one as to how I feel about it.
I did read one that said Rey is, I don't know if it's necessarily Luke's daughter or not, but she was being trained by him.
Hmm.
And for whatever reason, they had to stop. They've kind of blanked her memory and then dumped her on that planet for some reason.
Hmm.
So she's halfway to, you know, she's some way to being a Jedi, but she doesn't remember that.
Oh, I see. That's a good... I mean, that actually, the Force Awakens, that kind of... that's a really... That's a good point. good point well made. I wish I'd thought of that. It would make sense, certainly. Yeah. Yeah, sounds about right. So have you done... I mean, after you've seen the film now, have you started consuming all the theories and the little Easter eggs and the cameos?
I've been through the cameo lists and what's the other one? Finding out about all the deleted scenes that haven't made it.
Okay. I haven't done the deleted scenes, but I've done some of the nice touches that I hadn't noticed when watching the film. I do intend to go back and watch it again with just my wife, because obviously when you've got kids, you know, my youngest was saying, "Daddy, are the good guys going to win?" I don't know. I haven't seen it. Let's just watch the film and find out. You know. Mm. So there is mild distraction while you're watching. You can't take everything in.
And that film is packed. You can't really miss any of it.
There is so much to take in. It definitely wants a second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, infinite viewings. I mean, my wife said, I just want to go straight back in and watch it again.
Yeah,
you know, for her to share that level of enthusiasm over a film as I do, you know, I can do that with a number of films, but you know, for her to share that enthusiasm, I think is a great indication of how good that film really is. Mm. But let's do some of the cameos. I've only read a few. You probably know more than I do.
Okay.
So Daniel Craig,
yep.
is the stormtrooper that that Rey uses. the Jedi mind trick on.
That's right, yeah.
Which is great. I understand that Simon Pegg is also in there as a stormtrooper.
No, you know, I can't remember their names because I've only seen it once. Mm. You know the alien creature that hands out food and water rations?
Oh, yes.
That's him.
Is that him? Wow, I did not know that. Okay, there was another theory about him being the guardian of Rey on that planet, and that, you know, because he's a shitbag, she looks after herself and keeps herself distant. But it doesn't really tie in with like him wanting to take the droid off of her. I don't know. I'm not sure. I subscribe to that theory, but there was that theory. Other cameos included. Jesus, what's her bloody name? Princess Leia, her real name.
Carrie Fisher.
Carrie Fisher's daughter is in there.
Yeah.
Rocking the buns as well. On the
yes.
Similar sort of hairstyle. I don't know if I know.
Warwick Davis made a comeback. He's in there.
Of course. I can't remember what as, but...
I don't know if you can easily spot him in the film. It's only because... I actually flicked through it myself this morning. The Star Wars The Force Awakens The Visual Dictionary.
Oh, yeah. Have you got that?
I haven't got it, but I flicked through it. It's actually quite a nice book by the look of it. It details all the characters, some of the craft, the objects, and there's lots of pictures in there of stuff that you wouldn't normally see while sitting through the film.
Yeah, well, this is where I think a lot of the information's come on, like, you know, Captain Phasma's armour.
Yeah.
And it's got the history of where the metal came from, and it's this book that people are picking these bits of information out of. I think it's a purchase I'm going to have to invest in. I think
my favourite piece of information is a picture of Poe Dameron, and there's a lion coming off his head, and it says tussled hair because he's removed his helmet.
yeah, I did read there's a lot of notes on hair, types, bizarre. I think I'm not back at work until Tuesday. Because the kids are off on Monday, they go back to school on Tuesday. So I'm taking Monday off work. I think Tuesday I'm going to head up to my local Foyles near work and pick that book up if it's there. I think it looks.
Can't imagine it isn't.
It should be. Should be. You'd think so, wouldn't you? Foyles Waterloo Station. I'm putting you on alert. Save me a copy. I'm sure they listen. So, all right, okay. Any other cameos of note that you've?
There's the guy who won that competition's in there in the background somewhere.
Oh right, yeah.
You know what competition I mean? The one for the. What is it called? I can't remember what it's called.
I know what you mean. Everybody knows what you mean.
Yeah, you have to donate some money to be a chance to win it.
Yeah, everybody knows.
Everyone knows.
Force for Goodness or something like that.
That's it. Force for Change.
Force for Change, that's the one. Yeah. Well, he's a bastard. Fuck. No, good on him. I love the fact a lot of it was filmed at... Well, it was filmed at Pinewood, wasn't it? Just outside... Londinium, and I don't know, just it makes it a little bit more special because they filmed
that's what's here.
Yay. Okay, all right, what about Easter eggs then? On Jakku, I think is the planet that Rey
meets.
Pod racers in the background. There are pod racers.
Oh yeah, I think I saw one of those. Yeah.
We saw on the Millennium Falcon. We've mentioned that Finn picks up the training ball that Luke had.
Yes.
And obviously the chess set is there. What else is there? I read a few. There's a few other Easter.
I don't know. I'm just cheating now.
Have you got it online?
I'm just gonna see if I can find any major ones that are easy to spot.
The biggest one that most people have already spotted is the Falcon's aerial is now a squareal.
Oh yes, due to the obviously the events at the end of Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, they emulated R2-D2's first encounter with one of those mouse droids.
Oh yeah,
they did exactly the same with BB-8, so it's an exact carbon copy of how the two interact in the films. I don't know. I can't think of many more. I'm sure I read a load more earlier.
Oh, it's about two or three Game of Thrones cameos in there, apparently, but I've never watched it, so I can't.
Oh, right. Okay.
There's quite a few actors from Game of Thrones are saying there.
Okay. There were actors who obviously I recognised. Matt Parkman from Heroes. I can't remember the actor's name, but the character was Matt
Greg something?
Possibly.
The one he's always in JJ's films.
He's a larger chap with a beard.
Yeah, I know who you mean.
He was one of the pilots, I think.
Yeah, that's right.
I was like, ah, I like him. And there was an actress who was in a film that we watched literally, I think, the day before, and it was a Simon Pegg sort of rom com thing, where he meets the wrong date underneath the clock at Waterloo Station in London. It's like he's supposed to meet another girl, and then this other girl turns up holding the same book, and they go on a date.
Right.
And anyway, like there's an actress that was in that film was also in Star Wars, who was bandaging up Chewie after he's been blasted in the arm, and she's sort of like, you know, don't stop being such a big baby sort of thing to him. But anyway, we're waffling a little bit, but fantastic! What a great film. I've got to ask the question. I'm going to ask you. How do you rank it in all the Star Wars films? Where does it rank? I know it's difficult to give context because we've only seen it once.
Well, easily number 4, possibly number 3.
Okay. So you're putting the original trilogy, I presume, ahead of it?
Yeah. Maybe, yeah. Above Jedi, and, you know, so it's like Star Wars Empire Awakens.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
I've only watched it the once, so I really want to watch it again.
I know. Yeah, absolutely. Come. I might regret it and I might revise it, but I'm going to put it. I really enjoyed. I mean, Empire's my favourite. I think it's a lot of people's favourite.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to put it second.
Okay.
I think it's going second. And I might revise it because I actually, apart from, you know, all the Ewok shit, I actually really like Jedi as well. I think the scene where, you know, he's facing off against the Emperor and Darth Vader at the end, and there's the battle going on. I think that's a really tense, like real. I really like that moment in that film, which kind of puts it up there for me. So I think I'm going to put it second with Jedi after, and then A New Hope.
Ah.
And then it would be like 3-2-1. After that, I think. But
that part of the list doesn't count, does it?
it doesn't. I mean, oh god, how could you ever watch him again? Never mind. But okay, well there we go. We've done about 25 minutes on Star Wars. I think maybe we ought to move on to some other parts. So a quick look at next year's films.
Yeah, cool.
What okay, Rogue One. I don't know anything about it really, but Rogue One is out next year.
It's a heist movie.
Yeah.
They've released one official picture, haven't they? It's basically the crew sitting in a sort of a hangar or somewhere, isn't it?
Mm.
And that's about all we know.
Yeah, so there's that. Okay, well, I mean, first up, I think, on the superhero front, we've got Deadpool.
Yes.
Which, from the trailers, looks amazing. But then Fantastic Four looked pretty good in the trailers. And it's 20th Century Fox. I don't know, I'm just really nervous about it. I really want it to be good, and the trailers look good. Deadpool's a great character. Ryan Reynolds seems made for the role. I'm really worried that Fox are going to fuck it up somehow, and it's going to be awful.
The only thing that bugs me is I know there's red band and green band trailers, and the thing is that you keep seeing the same footage with different lines of comedy over it.
Mm.
I keep thinking, well, which one is it? What's going to be in the final cut?
I really think they're going...
Because I keep seeing different jokes and different trailers.
Mm. I really think they're kind of...
it's definitely R-rated, isn't it? I mean, that's a given.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the most recent trailer is purely for the Christmas market. I mean, it alludes to Christmas. He says it's Christmas Day, and you know, I'm after some people on my naughty list. And I don't think what we're seeing in the trailers is actually even necessarily all part of what's in the film. We keep seeing that what was the test footage, or what we were told was test footage, in the trailers. It might not even be in the film. It might be in the film. They may have refilmed
it. It looks different to me.
You think so?
I think that's the test footage that's been redone for the film.
Okay. Well, I mean, time will tell, but I think they're being really... Because, I mean, the whole thing about Deadpool is he's always breaking that fourth wall.
Yeah.
And I think they've tried to really play up to that in the trailer. So I wouldn't put too much... I wouldn't judge the film, really, on what we're seeing in the trailers too much. I mean, obviously there's the X-Men sequence and the fighting. That's probably in the film, but yeah. Otherwise, I think they're quite tailoring them to the season or the time of year.
Okay.
But I'm interested to see it. I will watch that. I'd quite like to go to the cinema to see it. It's definitely not one the wife will want to go and see. but that might be a solo trip for me. I'm just fingers crossed. I mean, I think they've picked up form recently, Fox, with the exception of Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
The most recent X-Men films, I think, have been better. And I'm hoping that this is going to be a good film. And it is like, what is it, a 15 certificate here?
I don't know, it's not been rated yet.
15 to 18, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. What I'm scared about is Star Trek Beyond.
All right.
Well, they've got this director, the director from Fast 7.
He's done two or three of them, yeah.
Yeah. And since when in Star Trek have you ever seen motorbikes doing massive stunt jumps before? I'm concerned.
That was a little concerning.
I'm concerned by that. I don't know. I mean, I love the J.J. Abrams Star Trek, you know, reimaginings or whatever they're called. I'm scared for that one. What else have we got? What Marvel?
Simon Pegg wasn't very impressed with it either.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he said there's more to the film than that trailer shows. He thought it was a little bit misleading.
Well, I hope so. He's one of the writers, isn't he?
He's written this one with the help of someone else, yeah.
Mm. Well, okay, there's that. We're going to see Doctor Strange this year, I believe.
Is it? I thought that was next year.
Is it?
Okay, perhaps you know more than I can't remember.
I may be wrong,
I did like those photos that appeared recently, though.
Cumberbatch.
As Doctor Strange, yeah.
He looks good. He looks the part, I think.
Apparently, that was the very first time he put the costume on.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's
so interesting. So he said he was still getting used to it himself, and they decided to release those photos. Yeah. Mm. Well, yeah, 20th of October in the UK, Doctor Strange.
Oh, it is this year. Yeah? Oh, cool.
Yeah.
And one that I'm still excited about is, though less so from the last trailer, Batman v Superman v Wonder Woman v all the other characters.
here's the film in capsulized form.
Here's Justice League, albeit with a different name. I don't know. I'm excited about that. I don't know. It might not be. It might not be brilliant, but I'm excited to see it. I think also Suicide Squad this year as well, isn't it?
I think so. Yes.
Which will sort of tie in a way because Batman's in both.
Yeah, speaking of which, on January the 19th, starting at 9 o'clock Eastern Time in America on the CW channel, they're going to have DC's Legend of Tomorrow, Their Time Is Now.
Oh, yeah.
Which apparently is providing an in-depth look at the new Flash and Arrow spin-off series, right. Which to me looks silly. I don't follow those shows, but I did watch that trailer with all those characters in. I thought, really? That can keep that running as another series?
It does look a bit cheesy, and I do think it will be a bit low budget.
But also, they've got, starting at 9:30 afterwards, they've got a special hosted by Kevin Smith, and they're going to get behind the scenes of Batman and Superman, Dawn of Justice, and apparently also so they promise a sneak peek at the new solo Wonder Woman film, which is just filming.
Yeah.
Is it Chatham Dockyards? No. Not filming, not too far from where I live, I think. Doing some set in World War One.
All right.
And apparently they'll have the first trailer for Suicide Squad as well. Well, say the first sort of trailer that's going to appear in the theatres, not the Comic-Con one we had last year.
Okay. Well, in terms of how excited I am for those DC titles, League of Legends or whatever it's called? I don't know.
I can't remember.
Was it Legends of Tomorrow? That's what it's called, isn't it?
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not really at all excited about that. I don't intend to watch that beyond probably the first episode. Batman v Superman, I think it's going to be fun, but I do worry that they're putting too much into it. It could just become a bit too complicated. Wonder Woman, I am excited for, and I still think Gal Gadot looks amazing as Wonder Woman. But here's the thing, right? Recently we saw that picture of a Wonder Woman film that could have been. It was a Wonder Woman film that never was. And the actress they had as the character, actually put side by side with Gal Gadot, not an awful lot of difference. And yet people were like, oh, shit, this is what we could have had. This could have been great. And then...
Oh, the aborted Justice League movie.
Exactly. Okay, yeah. We saw Wonder Woman in the costume. Not terribly different, to be honest. Not terribly different in terms of build and physique either. And yet one, people are like, oh, this could have been great. This is what we could have had. And, oh, this is what we've got. We hate it. They're much the same. So I think, let it go, people. I'll give her a chance. I think she's doing all right. And then Suicide Squad, actually, I'm more excited about now than I was. I think it looks really interesting. And again, I think it's going to be sort of darker, probably, you know, might not be R-rated, but it's going to be probably closer to a 15 certificate here than a PG. It looks good. I think this year for superhero films is looking like a good one. I don't know when what's the May release this year is for Marvel. Is it
Civil War?
Is it Civil War? Of course it is. Yeah, that's the one I was missing. Absolutely, which looks interesting. I've just not really got that hyped for it yet.
No, I've seen it and gone, oh, look, another new Marvel to look forward to. But yeah, I'm not feeling the big excitement.
Do you think we're starting to feel the saturation?
I'm wondering that.
Yeah. I felt a bit sad watching that Civil War trailer, to be honest. I didn't like the characters fighting each other. I'm a sensitive soul, really. Yeah, at the end where they're battering the shit out of Tony Stark. I didn't really like it. I felt uneasy about it. I'll go and see it, but I don't know. It's Black Panther this year as well. It can't be. It must be 2017, that one.
It can't be that quick. Because it's two films a year normally, isn't it? And this year is Civil War and Doctor Strange.
Usually, yeah. But, there's one year where there's just, like, an incredible... I think it might be 2018. There's an abundance of superhero films. There's literally, one every couple of months. But we'll see. But, okay, well, that's stuff to look forward to, isn't it? In this year, 2016, the year of the superhero.
Yeah, so just going back to what you said earlier about I forgot what you said.
What did I say?
Something about hating films based on just viewing trailers or something.
Don't remember.
I know. I looked up this story specifically to say it for something connected to what I've just said. Anyway, I'm going to say it anyway because I think it's funny. it's an article a few days ago on Kotaku entitled "Let's Judge the Assassin's Creed Movie Based on One New Image." And the new image is Michael Fassbender in his Assassin's Creed cloak and robes and decades of things. Looking over, he looks like he's perched on a roof and he's got a woman in similar clothing next to him. And that is it. That's just one single image, just two characters on a roof. So this article basically says this is how people are judging it. And it gives, here are a few examples. This movie is going to be terrible. Already hate it. As a major Assassin's Creed fan, this movie is going to fucking suck, guaranteed. Oh boy, this is going to be just as bad as Prince of Persia movie, won't it? It's one image.
One picture, wow.
One picture, we've not even seen footage. This is just one image.
I mean, yeah, we're all guilty of it to an extent. I mean, when we all saw Jared Leto as the Joker.
Oh, actually, yeah, they bring that up.
didn't we all go, what the actual F is this? But I had an interesting theory about that, who the Joker actually is. And it's not the Joker we know and are familiar with. A theory I heard recently from a guy at work, actually, because there's quite a few nerds at work, was that we've seen in Batman v Superman the Robin outfit with...
Oh, yes, yes.
Ha, 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 the joke's on you.
Yeah.
The theory is that Robin was drugged, abducted, or turned into the Joker...
Really?
And so this Joker we're seeing is not the Joker we would know, but rather a copycat of the Joker that we would know.
Oh.
Interesting theory. It works.
That is super, yeah.
It could be. We'll see. I mean, DC haven't exactly been hot on continuity across their films in the past. So perhaps, with this aim of building a cinematic universe, perhaps there will be now, but we'll see. We'll see. Interesting one. Right, John, I am aware that you have a number of things that we should talk about. So should we start, since we're about 40 minutes into the show now?
Perhaps we should keep these brief, I don't know.
Yeah, perhaps so. What have we got?
Snippets of news. Let's see. Gremlins 3 will not be a reboot.
Will not be a reboot. Will no, it be a remake?
Nor a remake. In a in a Q&A recently with, I can't remember his name. Galligan, I can't remember his first name. The guy who plays Billy in the first movie.
Okay.
He said that they're thinking on the lines of doing a Jurassic World type scenario where it's going to be like Gremlins but 30 years on.
Okay, that could work. That could work. I can see that. I mean, you know, Gremlins could be around for that long. You know, I don't know. Maybe like son of whatever his name is, Mogwai?
Mowgli?
Mowgli. I don't know.
That's it. Is he called Mowgli and they are Mogwai? I don't know. I'm confused. I'm confused myself.
Completely forgotten. That could work. I don't mind that so much. It seems unnecessary, but I don't mind it so much. I think they could do.
It sits better than a reimagining, doesn't it?
It does. It does. Yeah, yeah. The world's gone insane with the things that they're remaking. At least that's a little bit, you know, it's a little bit different. It's an original story. I can work with that. I can go with it. I'm not offended.
I'll let Warner Brothers know.
Thanks.
They'll give it the green light.
But if there could be a Batman tie-in, that'd be cool. Batman v Gremlins.
Has that ever been a comic series? It sounds like it should have been.
It should be, shouldn't it? I'll work on that. What's next?
Vin Diesel doesn't seem to be learning that no one likes pitch black films. Or perhaps it's just me. I just feel the quality.
Just you that likes them, or just you that doesn't like them?
Well, the first one's good. I like the original. The second one's not bad. And then what was the last one called? Just Riddick, wasn't it?
Oh, there was Chronicles of Riddick. There was Riddick. I don't know.
Riddick seems to be sort of a remake / reboot of the original to me. But anyway, it's been confirmed it's going to be it's going to be a TV series to complement Riddick.
Oh yeah,
it's going to be called Merc City, and it follows the stories of mercenaries and bounty hunters who exist in the Riddick universe.
Yeah, unnecessary also, but yeah.
Does sound it could be a bit generic, doesn't it?
There's so many TV series as well now. It's all adding to the saturation of like pop culture. I don't have the time to watch half the programs that are on now. Why on earth would I waste time watching a Riddick one?
I know you feel.
You know, would I bother? Probably not. I mean,
on top of that, he's confirmed they're still writing the script for a fourth Riddick film as well.
Again, unnecessary. But there must be a fan base for it. There must be. There must be people out there that are like absolutely are loyal to that franchise and will watch any of it.
It must be. You know, end of the day, it's usually the figures, isn't it? If the figures are good, they'll make another one.
They're low budget and they probably make their money back and some. So, you know, why not? Why not do it? Yeah, I guess Vin Diesel's a big enough name to draw in a big enough audience for what they want, what they want to achieve from it. So I guess so. Yeah.
Carrying on the theme of things, I've got two more here. Things going to TV. Rambo.
Yes, I heard about that. I can't think of anything less suited to being on TV. I mean, really, off the top of my head, I can't think of anything. I mean, like the Human Centipede, the series would probably be pretty bad where they just add an extra person each week. Fuck me, that's a concept. That's a concept. But other than that, yeah, Rambo.
You've just given someone an idea. Someone's now starting to write them down.
Yeah, maybe.
Quite ironically, it's going to be produced by 20th Century Fox, which. It can't be violent then, can it? I mean,
I don't know.
If it's one of these sort of lesser, if it's one of the smaller cable channels like Stars for Existence, who do Ash versus Evil Dead and Black Sails, which is full of blood and violence and swearing, that'd be perfectly suited for something like Rambo. But Fox, it sounds like it's gonna be rather generic. I mean, apparently it's called Rambo New Blood.
Yeah,
which also means the film they've been working on for 2 years, we're sort of trying to script out, called Rambo Last Blood, is now on hold. It would be John Rambo and his son JR, who's an ex-Navy SEAL.
Yeah, I've heard conflicting rumours about whether Stallone's even involved anymore, but I don't know anything about it.
You can't really sort of recast Rambo, can you?
You'd think not, but apparently there was... What was it? There was something, like an animated series of Rambo Somebody else voiced it, and it sounds nothing like him.
Wasn't that sort of promote the figures, the toys? There was a
most
Rambo
likely.
Line of toys, wasn't there?
Yeah, how can we get toys of a violent character into kids' hands? I don't know, let's make a sort of less violent version.
Well, we had Rambo, not Rambo, which is what we were talking about. We had Robocop, the animated series, didn't we?
We did.
Which I think I might have tried watching and gave up pretty soon after I pushed play.
You're a braver man than I am. I see things like that and I just think, no, skip. I'm not watching that. I haven't got enough life left. What else? Did you say there were two things?
Yeah, also they want to turn Snowpiercer into a TV series as well.
I never saw the film. I think it's on my Love Film list. We still have Love Film, by the way.
It still exists.
Still going. DVDs through the post. You never know what you're getting. It's a surprise. I made the list in like 1992. I'm still getting the films. No, it's on my list, but I haven't seen it yet. And it's not. It doesn't appear to be on Netflix or Amazon Prime. So I'll give it a watch.
I was just before we were recording. Actually, I saw the news story and I thought, I'll check Amazon, see if. If I can buy it yet. It still hasn't got a UK release on DVD or Blu-ray.
It's out
in all over Europe. You can see people importing copies from Germany, Italy, Spain. It's like, UK? No, that's a bit bizarre. I mean, the whole film is brilliant for a start, but the film's plot is a man getting from the back of a train to the front.
Yeah.
How can you extend that into a series? It's like maybe each episode is just about one carriage.
It's a really long train, yeah.
Yeah.
Buffet car first. First, second class. And then I don't know. Yeah. There's the toilets to navigate. They're always horrible on trains, aren't they, if you're going any distance? There's the drunk. Yeah, the drunk to get past. I don't know. It could work. I suppose. I mean... I don't know, you just sort of extend it, you play more on the politics and the politics between the higher class and the lower classes, the uprising, the gradual rebellion and overthrowing of the classes. I don't know.
Who knows, weird. Anyway, War of the Worlds is going to make a comeback, well, they're hoping to.
As a TV series,
again. As a TV series, yes. I do remember the... one from the, was it 90s? I think it's the early 90s. There was an American TV series.
I did. I watched every episode. I really did.
You really did?
It was one of those times, I think, when I was working in a kitchen and finishing at like 2 a.m. And every time when I got home, it was on. So it's the sort of program, yeah, I did. I watched every episode.
Wasn't the concept behind that they stored the remains of the aliens in barrels and the barrels... some kind of radioactive waste leaked onto the barrows and reanimated the aliens.
Don't ask me to remember any of it.
I know. It just come back to me.
Also,
they had a guy from Predator in it. I remember that as well.
Also coincided with the time in my life where I was stoned a lot. So, you know.
All right, so we're quite lucky to find out you actually did watch it then.
All a bit hazy. I did watch it. I thought it was entertaining enough at the time, but probably a bit naff now.
Well, it says there's a UK production company called Mammoth Screen who want to do it, and they've secured funding in the UK, and now they want someone in the US to help co-finance it. Mm. And if it goes ahead, it won't start filming until 2017, because apparently Paramount hold the copyright at the moment, but that expires because the novel becomes public domain at the end of this year.
Oh, I see. Okay. Interesting. I hold a soft spot for War of the Worlds in my heart, though. The original... the book, H.G. Wells, the radio telling, all of it. I think my dad's still got the vinyl record of it, and I even like the Tom Cruise one. Just holds a special place in my heart for some reason. I'm very fond of it. So if they can do it justice, again, I'm not offended. You know, I'm trying to be a bit more open minded in 2016. They're going to remake all this crap and they're going to put a load of shit on TV that we don't really need, but I'm willing to give it the benefit of the doubt, I think is what I'm saying.
Well, apparently this version of The War of the Worlds, it will match the original source material. It will be set in Victorian times.
Oh, wow.
That's what they want to do, because as they say, and I was thinking about it, I go, oh yeah, they're right, nothing's actually done that yet.
Yeah.
Well, everything's always been set. I mean, you got the one from, was it 1950s, which is set then.
Yeah.
The Spielberg version, which is set in 2000 and whenever.
Yeah.
But no one's actually done the original version, which was Victorian England, I believe.
Yeah, good point. Yeah. Yeah. And it was set in England as well.
Yes.
Yeah, stole it. Bloody Yanks. Give it back. Yeah, quite right. Okay, well, that could be interesting. Could be worth watch.
Yeah. something else to make you feel old. Terminator 2 is 25 years old next. Oh, this year, sorry.
Wow. Oh my god. I think.
And, yeah.
What? Yeah. Thinking about it. Hang on. Let me do the quick math. I was 13. I must have been. When it was coming out, it was. Wasn't it the first one of the first 12 certificate films, or was it 15? Over here, I can't remember, but I know I was like.
It has got different certificates depending on which format you brought it on.
When it was in a cinema, I think.
Yeah.
Because I was desperately sad that I wasn't old enough to go and see it, and I really wanted to go and see it. That does actually stir quite memories for me. Yeah, nostalgia of not being old enough to go and see it at the cinema. Yeah. Oh wow, that's sad.
To make some easy cash. It seems Terminator has a bigger following in China at the moment.
Oh, really?
Apparently, Terminator Genesis, while it didn't even make $100 million in the US alone, in China it made 112.8.
Right, so it's the Chinese fault.
Last
show, I don't know if you remember, we said it was our fault that these films keep getting made. I can't remember why, but it was our fault. It's actually the Chinese. I love words about that.
And maybe I don't know, based on what you said earlier, or your change of mind, new you, new 2016, it's being converted into 3D.
Nope. No, there are limits.
Well, this is a direct quote from James Cameron himself. Next year marks the 25th anniversary of Terminator 2, and that seemed like a perfect time to bring it back, but this time in an all-new 3D version. If you've never seen it, this will be the version you want to see and remember. I think Will might have something to say about that.
Well, I have already seen it. I have quite fond memories of it. And let's leave it there. There's no need. I'm not going back to the cinema to watch it, and I'm not going to watch it in 3D. I can see how it would work. It would be great, but retrofitted, I don't know. It just seems a bit. Yeah, just leave it. You know, issue a box set like they did with Back to the Future, which I got for Christmas. Thank you very much. one of my kids, via my wife, I think. Do a box set. Yeah, do special features. Do the commentary. Do the bonus material. But fuck's sake, really? 3D? Is it necessary? How many people are actually going to go back to the cinema and watch it?
Just... A lot of Chinese people, they're hoping, I presume. I presume they get released around the rest of the world as well.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about them. Yeah. I wonder what Chinese people eat in a cinema. Do you think they eat rice? That's really racist, isn't it? I take that back. But I'd have to say I'm pro-rice in the cinema because it's a lot less noisy than popcorn.
That's true.
So, you know, I didn't...
What if you pop the rice? Sugar puffs. No, that's pop sugar. Rice Krispies.
We're not winning with this conversation, are we? There's no way we're going to come out well. Quick question. Throwing back to The Force Awakens. When you went, did you buy popcorn?
No.
Good man. I mean, I did. I bought lots. I bought popcorn for my wife and my kids. I didn't have any myself.
You're with kids, so you're excused.
Exactly.
I did, however, buy a huge drink.
I bought a drink as
which
well.
Which I really regretted about halfway through. Because my body was going, bathroom, now. And I'm going, I cannot leave.
So we had this conversation during Mad Max where you had this massive drink. And I was like, how are you going to get through the film? And you were like, I work in a truck where I can't piss for hours on end. We had this conversation. And I have a small bladder, child-sized bladder. I need to pee literally every 3 minutes.
Don't tell me how you're recording this now. I don't want to know.
There are ways. I had a drink, not the biggest. I had a small Coca-Cola from the branding. From
the concession stand.
Yeah. I mean, what are you? Are you a Pepsi or a Coca-Cola man?
Coke, I think.
Yeah, I've always been a Pepsi man. And do you know why?
Why?
Back to the Future. It's true. Really? True story. Yeah, he drank Diet Pepsi in that. Mm. Of course, I couldn't drink that shit because it's got no taste. But I personally prefer full fat Pepsi to not that I've drank Coke or Pepsi or in any quantity for years, but only when I go to the cinema or if I'm at a restaurant having a meal and I've got to drive. That's the only times I have Coke. But yeah, prefer Pepsi. True fact.
Okay,
derailed that. Hey, where were we?
Last news item, I think, in this podcast, going back to your unintentional racist comments.
I was going to edit those out. Don't bring them up again.
But it makes a great link.
Carry on, then.
I don't even know why people have brought this up, but people are claiming that the new film, not even yet released, God of Egypt, is racist.
Yeah, there's a lot of white people in that.
Exactly. for a film set in, you know, Egyptian times in Egypt.
Yeah.
A lot of white people.
Not many Egyptians.
Exactly.
Oh yeah, I saw that. God, that film looks shit. I know we're judging a book by its cover, and we discussed this just a few minutes ago in the podcast. Yeah, you shouldn't just judge something based on the trailer or an image, but that looks fucking awful. And I'm a fan of the director, Alex Proyas. He's done two of my favourite films, The Crow and Dark City. Yeah, it looks bad. The CGI looks bad. The setting looks bad. Terrible. The storyline looks bad. The actors look bad. It just looks all kinds of bad. I don't know what more I can say on that.
And the thing is that they've had to issue an apology already to try and calm things down. Both Alex Proyas is saying the process of casting a movie has complicated variables, but it is clear that our casting choices should have been more diverse. I sincerely apologise to those who are offended by the decisions we made. It's like, steady on. I think everyone's getting a bit... Obviously, they're saying sorry to calm people down, but is this getting blown out of proportion? Seriously.
It is a bit.
Lionsgate have issued an apology of their own as well. Mm. Also, one of the few stars of colour in the film, Chadwick Boseman, is going to be playing Black Panther in the Civil War and the upcoming solo movie. He's also come out... He's actually said he purposely accepted the part in the film to diversify the cast up a bit.
Oh, wow. He took the role as the token black guy.
Almost, yeah. I mean, he's quoted a quote he said, well, I'll just get that in, but he goes, but yeah, people don't make $140 million movies starring black and brown people.
Wow. I guess at this point, it's damage limitation, and they're just like, you know, any publicity is good publicity. I guess that's what they're... It feels a bit like, you know, people have reacted really badly to this film. Yeah, obviously they've noticed there's not many there's not much diversity in the colour of the cast, and shit, what are we gonna do? It's like, sorry, please come watch our film, please.
It looks like it needs a publicity, to be honest.
The thing I got from watching that trailer, or the first trailer I should say, is I really want to watch Stargate. And I don't want to watch this. I loved Stargate when it first came out. I went to the cinema and saw Stargate three times at the cinema.
Three times.
And that's it's quite a long film. I really, really enjoyed that film.
It is a really good film. Classic film.
And yet I don't own it on DVD. Yeah, weird.
Perhaps you can get it from Love Film.
Maybe. It's probably on my list. From 1992. Maybe. Well, there we go. Okay, I think we've wrapped that up on a rather colourful end. colourful end of the show. We don't exclude anybody. If whatever colour you are, you can listen to our podcast and be offended equally. So lovely chat, John. I really enjoyed that. That's a good show. Really enjoyed that. That's one.
Another good one.
Yeah. Let's try and do one next month. And every month this year, that would be the challenge. If we can get 12 episodes this year.
We were doing quite well last year, weren't we, towards the end?
We were.
Fairly regular.
Christmas really got in the way, didn't it?
Yeah.
And we got to a point where it was like, we were going to record, and we just couldn't make it work. I can't remember why. Something to do with like having to not get divorced or something, and you know, spend time with our family and kids and Christmas and work and yeah, all sorts of stuff. I think actually you're working antisocial hours, aren't you?
That doesn't help either. Yeah,
I think that was the December problem as well. I think we just couldn't make it work. But never mind, we're back. New year, new us.
Hey!
Same old shit. So until next time, if you haven't seen Star Wars, sorry for spoiling it. If you have, glad you enjoyed it, I'm assuming. And we'll be back next month with another show, I hope. So, John, until next time.
See you later.
Bye!
UnheardNerd.com.